Isn't this a sports show?
All right, so do we just talk about Patrick Mahomes for like 45 minutes then? Because like that's something I'm always in the mood to do.
Almost entirely.
Like, do you want me to talk about Patrick Mahomes more? Because I will. I'll do it. I'm crazy. I'll do it.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
If you start any conversation about the Chiefs today with, man, I don't know about that defense, you have to go. You have to launch yourself into another hemisphere. You have to jump on Patrick Mahomes' hand and let him fling you to the sun, which he can do.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
Mahomes, Mahomes on the rain, where they allow some deep play, where seldom is seen a check down or a screen, and you can win more than one playoff game. Okay, no, I have to do the show.
Encore! Encore!
No, encore! I don't have another verse. I just have the one.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Cut the music! Listen here, folks. I'm going to talk to you a cappella real quick. If you're new to the show, welcome to football season. Whenever the Chiefs win a football game, the next time we have an edition of Almost Entirely Sports, we start it one way and one way only. Party popper! Woo! There's confetti in the studio. My apologies to whoever cleans up the mess that I leave.
Which will be you.
Mostly me. Sometimes I miss. Not a great, accurate shot for the party popper, but the studio smells like, firecracker-grade gunpowder, and that means the Chiefs are 1-0. Welcome in to Almost Entirely Sports here on Sports Radio 810. I am Joshua Briscoe. Beards McFly is hitting all the buttons. Rudy's out tonight. He'll be back tomorrow, we think. Maybe. I don't know. We'll figure it out. And I'm moving the streamers over the microphone where they belong on a Victory Monday happening a day late. Victory Tuesday, we'll take it. We have so much goodness to bring to you tonight. The Chiefs played a football game, breaking news. I'm not sure if everyone else saw it. I did watch that football game. And it was fun, and the Chiefs won it. I know that might be startling some of you who had been, you know, DVRing it and waiting to watch it on like Saturday. You went maybe you're recording all the Chiefs games and want to like binge them right before the playoffs, like a Netflix show. I get it. So spoiler alert, the Chiefs are 1-0. Spoiler alert, the offense looked really, really good. Spoiler alert, they looked really, really good with very little Tyreek Hill and a big chunk of the game with Patrick Mahomes basically playing with one Patrick Mahomes leg and one pirate peg leg.
Also against a supposedly good defense.
Against an incredibly good defense.
Incredibly talkative defense that thought they were good.
Very loud defense. I would say at the very least, an extremely talented defense. And they put up 40, baby. Put up 40. It was hot in Jacksonville. Listen, I was in St. Joe for training camp. It was 60 degrees there every day, so the Chiefs had no idea what was coming for them in the form of heat. It was not 50 degrees in St. Joe, ever. Hot as hell. Just like this Chiefs offense! Pew, 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 pew!
Woo!
All right, we're going to talk about all of that throughout the course of the show. Beards has brought two additions of sad fans on Reddit.
There was a lot, man.
I think this Beards has told me very little. I gotta give you a little more background here. This show's first iteration was over on ESPN Kansas City. We did a show over there afternoons 4 to 6 for about a year and a half, almost 2 years. And whenever we found a few things that we decide we are just going to, these are two of our bits. We have trademarks. And if you steal them, we will come after you with lawyers. And our lawyer here is Seth. He'll come after you with the power of God also. He's a lawyer and a pastor. And we'll talk to Seth Kaiser at 9 o'clock about all of this.
That was going to be better than my joke. I was going to say we were going to have sticks on them that said lawyer, and we were just going to come after you that way.
That's pretty good, actually. Listen, I don't have any evidence that that's not what Seth does.
People, that's fair.
People just believe he's a lawyer. I haven't seen his... Have you seen his degree? You seen that he passed the bar or whatever? I haven't. It's dumb. We'll talk to Seth at 9 about everything in this game. The good, the bad, because there was both, to be honest. But over on ESPN Kansas City, at some point, it was after the Bengals game. It was after the Bengals game last year. The Chiefs kicked in the teeth of the Bengals so aggressively. 40-something to 10, I think.
Yeah, I think it was 45 to 10.
That Beards was scrolling through Reddit and found that Bengals fans were being very sad.
Oh, boy.
And there are a few things in this life that I enjoy more than connecting emo culture to sports. One of my favorite reviews on the Almost Entirely Sports Facebook page, you can watch it on the 810 Facebook page, by the way, but my favorite reviews on the Almost Entirely Sports Facebook page just says, like, Josh is too emo for sports, but I like the show anyway, or something like that, which feels very accurate. And that never is that more true than in sad fans on Reddit, which is also sometimes angry fans on Reddit, always profane fans on Reddit.
One time, happy Chiefs fans on Reddit.
That happens sometimes, too. And even if the Chiefs lose, we'll give you sad Chiefs fans on Reddit because misery loves company, and it's frankly a good bit. This is probably the only element of the show that I like genuinely am like, Beards, I want zero creative control over this. I'm going to hear it with the listeners for the first time. And so Beards is the only one that knows what's coming here next segment. We'll give you the first of two of these.
It'll be good.
And the Jags one, can I give him this much, Beards?
Sure.
Is apparently 6 minutes long.
My music bed is 6 minutes and like 5 seconds long. I had to edit a good amount out of it.
There were times last year whenever I felt like I couldn't get Beards to give us a full 3 minute edition. I can't even imagine.
There was good stuff.
The weeping and gnashing of teeth in the Jags subreddit.
There was good stuff.
Plus, we will also give you sad CBS viewers on Reddit.
A special edition.
As a special bonus one, we'll get you at the end of the hour here. So that's all happening today. Also, I'm going to give you on the front end, there's a bunch of stuff going on with Antonio Brown right now on Twitter, and it's not the funny stuff that I really wanted to talk about tonight. Like, I had a whole thing planned for how the Patriots and Steelers played last night, or two nights they played on Sunday night, and the Patriots kicked their damn teeth in, won by 30 points, and then took their best player. Which was the case as of last night. That was my whole riff I was going to go on. But right now, I don't know if Antonio Brown's going to play for the Patriots. I don't know if this... There's a lot going on out there right now. So if you want to read all of it, the accusations against Antonio Brown, the response from his legal team, that's all playing out in real time right now. And if I learned one single thing from this last offseason that I've been a part of, it's that I'm going to shut the hell up for one gosh dang minute. And then we can talk about it even tomorrow. Even tomorrow, I will feel like we can have a conversation about what's going on here. But tonight, I don't have enough information. It's all breaking right now. I need some time. And also, frankly, this doesn't sound like any fun at all. And we've got a Chiefs game to talk about. Dang it. So let's do that. The Chiefs go to Jacksonville. All the aforementioned things get in the way. And they really don't get in the way. The Chiefs put up 40 points. You can put the MVP where you will. As you've heard me, you know, refer to it in liners before, I would say as far as the game went, Sammy Watkins kind of had the most MVP-ness in his performance. Got to be really careful around that one. I think I dodged that bullet. No, but Sammy Watkins was incredible in this game. I think I made him the MVP on the post-game show, which, by the way, is me and Brad Porter, and we're doing that Sundays as soon as the Chiefs game ends right here on Sports Radio 810. It was really fun. It was a good show on Sunday. Come hang out with us after Chiefs games.
Also not limited to Sundays. There are Monday night and Thursday night games for the Chiefs.
Fair, but not anytime soon.
That's fair.
And so all of that going on in the game on Sunday, Sammy Watkins just takes over. He finally looks like the advanced reptilian solar being that we've all been talking about him being. It legitimately, and I said this in the post-game show, and I really don't mean this with any exaggeration. There's probably a couple of Tyreek Hill games that could argue for this. Probably a couple of Dwayne Bowe games that could argue for this. But that was one of the best games I've seen from a receiver in a Chiefs uniform in an extremely long time, if not ever. If you expand it to tight ends, there's probably a Travis Kelce game. There's probably a Tony Gonzalez game. Again, there could be a Bowen, there could be a Tyreek Hill one. I don't know. I'm not going to try to empirically prove that. But I'm telling you, watching that game, Sammy Watkins took over from the beginning and never let it go. And he was outstanding. I've seen what Seth's been tweeting about tonight, and I read his Sammy Watkins film review on The Athletic. I actually talked to him yesterday. So I know a couple of the things that we'll talk about tonight regarding Sammy Watkins. He was better than I thought upon further review, after reading the film review and everything. He, even on the plays that looked relatively easy, he was doing hard things as a receiver. And a lot of this happened after Tyreek Hill left the game with like a serious medical emergency. Apparently he's just out a few weeks. We could talk about that some too. But with all of that, Watkins was incredible. Just outstanding. In every facet of the game. Patrick Mahomes, it has 200-some passing yards in the first quarter. He was on pace for 800, maybe 900 passing yards after the first quarter. And if the Jags hadn't landed on his freaking ankle, I think and he would have had a reason to keep doing it, I think he might have. And they lost Tyreek Hill. The thing that I was most impressed by, I think, throughout all of that, was what happened to the offense after Patrick Mahomes was clearly limited. The things they started doing differently. The long developing plays and the deep shots kind of went away. Mahomes wasn't stepping into his throws with all of the force that he usually would, with his left ankle being a little bit of an uncertain platform. And he just sat in the pocket and looked like Tom Brady or Drew Brees, man. He really did. Like, not even to say he played like them, it didn't look as good. No. He looked like Tom Brady and Drew Brees in that pocket. He wasn't doing all the improvisational stuff where he does the things that make you throw your controller in Madden. He just sat in the pocket and played quarterback at an incredibly high level. That counts for something, man. Like, that is something that we haven't even seen a lot because he hasn't had to do that. And I've told you, and Seth has told you, and anyone who you should be listening to has told you, Mahomes has been great in the pocket his entire NFL career already. But being forced to stay in the pocket is different. Being able to be good in the pocket is one thing that you need to be able to do. But being great whenever you're stuck, whenever you're playing with your left foot, you know, like in a tar pit, that's a different challenge. And Mahomes is great, and Andy Reid's adjustment of the offense was exceptional. Beards, I heard you turn your mic on and look at your phone.
Jared Goff, for comparison, for the entire game, had 186 yards. 186. I've just been looking through my score app, looking for, like, who Mahomes was better than in the first quarter.
Go find me Kirk Cousins, please, Beards.
Ooh, okay. Let
find me
see
Kirk
here.
Cousins, because where I believe I know very close Vikings to his stat line. From the win, the Minnesota Vikings victory on Sunday. What did Kirk Cousins' stat line look like?
8 for 10 yards. 8 of 10 for 98 yards.
$84 million guaranteed for that guy.
Whoa.
What are the Vikings doing?
He was better than both quarterbacks in the 49ers-Buccaneers game, too. Neither of them top 200.
In the first quarter, you mean? Yeah.
Yes.
Excellent. That's awesome. Yeah, no, Kirk Cousins.
On one leg.
Yeah, he was basically a veggie tail in the pocket. He was just hopping around. Yeah, Kirk Cousins. How many? He was under 100 yards passing in that game?
Kirk Cousins, 98.
Yeah, awesome. That's outstanding. So, all of that from Mahomes on a weak ankle after losing Tyreek Hill with his shoulder, sternum, bones bending and popping but not breaking and all of that, the offense still puts up 40 points. Again, Sammy Watkins is exceptional throughout this game. And the running back group was outstanding. It was everything you could have asked for. LeSean McCoy looked like what I told you to expect him to look like. Damian Williams looked like what we've seen him look like. Super reliable catching passes out of the backfield. LeSean McCoy looked like he was LeSean McCoy not playing behind the 2018 Buffalo Bills offensive line. It's great. It's exactly what you wanted to see from the offense in that game, and they did all of it against a defense that was really good. And they got under their skin so fast. Miles Jack was a cameo. He had a cameo appearance in this game. And Jalen Ramsey was a character that existed to be foiled by Sammy Watkins. I mean, just absurdity all the way through. And you know, you can talk about the offensive line. Dan Fouts in the broadcast talked about, you know, concerns about being able to protect him. And then Sarin had a tweet immediately following that as the graphic popped up on the screen showing that Mahomes had been hurried a handful of times. He had been hit a couple of times, but one of those hits was really, really scary. And so you remember that one. That vision, the image of Patrick Mahomes limping over, kind of hobbling over to the sideline to go hop into the injury tent, that will be burned in all of our minds the rest of this season and maybe beyond. Because that's what the end of the Chiefs season looks like. If that happens, you can start rolling the credits. If that happens, and it's more serious, obviously. Matt Moore is not... Maybe Matt Moore and this team could win the division because Andy Reid's a genius. But it's not. We're not talking about divisions here anymore. I was out at the Chiefs Kingdom show yesterday. That Hy-Vee was packed with people. People were waiting outside. There was a throng of people waiting outside to see Patrick Mahomes walk into the Hy-Vee Market Grill. And it was like trying to see a glimpse of the royal baby. Like, it was insane. That's not for a playoff berth. That's because this team's a Super Bowl favorite. One of the favorites to win it. And the offense looked like it yesterday. The offensive line, the tweet that Sarin had, it wasn't nearly the hassling that you probably remember it as. He just got hit a few times. He got hit with the ankle. And then he got hit on that play that was a fumble and then recovered by, I believe, Eric Fisher. Those weren't what you want, but it was because those two plays were more impactful and could have been more impactful that I think that stands out in all likelihood. So there's that. We have to take a break, so I want to make sure we can get you all of the sad fans on Reddit, because I promise these are always exceptional. I will talk about the Chiefs defense whenever we have a moment to talk about the pass rush, talk about the cornerback group. We'll talk about it a little bit with, again, Seth Kizer of The Athletic coming up here in a little over 30 minutes. There's a lot in this game. We'll talk about it tonight. We'll be back tomorrow. Whenever we come back, I'm going to tease you two things. I'm going to make you absolutely fall in love with Gardner Minshew if you didn't do it on Sunday. And we are going to give you some very sad Jags fans. That's next here on Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
1, 2, 3. Check out Mahomes.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I had really good energy going to break, and then I came back, and then I saw O.J. Simpson's video about how Antonio Brown was merely accused of something, and that doesn't mean he was convicted. What does O.J. know? Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports here on Sports Radio 810. If you haven't caught it, there's a guy on Twitter who said, I turned off the show when you weren't talking about Antonio Brown. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. I'm telling you again now, there are rape accusations out against Antonio Brown. There's been a defense put out by his lawyer. We can all read the same information. So there's the update. Those are out there. I've retweeted them. They're all over the internet. I'm not going to read them all verbatim. There are long pages. There's a full article and then a full page response from Antonio Brown's lawyer. You can go read every single bit of information that I know. You can also know through the magic of the internet. So there's all of that, and that's the end of all of that for my commentary on it tonight, because...
Unless something new comes up.
Yeah, of course. It's the end of my commentary until something else newsworthy happens, or anything newsworthy happens, and then I will update you accordingly. But the guy that said, well, can you at least talk about it? I turned off the show and I didn't hear anything about it. My mentions are already a mess. Like, I didn't say a thing on Twitter, and they're already a mess. And, Also, OJ didn't draft Patrick Mahomes, and he was mad at himself about it. That's my Twitter right now. My Twitter is a bunch of people saying stuff about Antonio Brown, and I hear his lawyer, I think. I just want to play sad fans on Reddit. I just want to make fun of Jags fans, man. The lawyers also tweeted that Brown will leave no stone unturned, and will aggressively defend himself, including exercising all of his rights and countersuits. All right, we'll be here for whenever that happens, however long that takes and all of that. I don't know if he's playing for the Patriots next week. I don't know if they're going to cut him in an hour. I feel pretty good that I know about that. I don't know. You know what I know. And what I know is very, very limited. There's an accusation out against Antonio Brown. They've had a response. And if you want the full scope of it all, there are statements up on Twitter. And now if you just Google it, it's all over the internet. So there's all of that. But we only got 30 minutes before we get to Seth Kizer, an hour and a half in the show. I don't want to spend any more time restating what we've already said about Antonio Brown. So I want to make fun of sad Jags fans. Well, there's something else I said I wanted to do whenever he came back, other than the sad Jags fans. I've already forgotten. I got distracted. Now I'm mad at Twitter.
I don't remember.
Great.
Probably something about how the Chiefs are awesome.
That's probably it.
Yeah. Except on defense, where they're kind of mediocre.
Maybe not good.
Yeah.
That might have been the other thing I wanted to talk about, actually, is that it's maybe not good. We'll get to that at some point. Every week during the football season, we are going to take the losing side of a Chiefs game, which will mostly not be the Chiefs, I feel quite confident. And Beards goes through that team's subreddit and finds the saddest fans of that team talking about it on Reddit and puts together some form of a masterpiece. Beard says this one is 6 minutes long, which is the longest sad fans on Reddit in sad Reddit history. And Jags fans have a lot of reasons to be sad. Their quarterback is gone. Their defense got dunked on. Jalen Ramsey wasn't good. Miles Jack was a nightmare. And probably lots of other things that I haven't thought of yet. Without further ado, here's sad Jags fans on Reddit.
And now, a list of things that Jacksonville Jaguars fans said on Reddit last night.
Get those people in red out of our pools!
Leave it to the Jags to give up a huge play on f***ing third down. What is it with this team? Wait, no, go back. I wasn't ready. Start over!
Where's the bleach?
Well, good season, boys. Let the tank begin. As long as I don't see some Blake Bortles type s*** today, I'm happy even if we lose. Sometimes I get so caught up in worrying about the offense that I forget to worry about the defense. Thank you for reminding me of that, Jaguars. Glad we didn't play the starters during the preseason so we could come out with our A game. Really trying to stay positive, but I feel like a jackass having looked forward to the season so much. Comments. Pops open a bottle of vodka. Here we go again. Reply. Well, there's your problem. Jax is a beer city. Comment. Third down? Let's throw it way out of bounds. Reply. Blake did it better. Why are they open? Mahomes misses on a pass.
Hey, an incomplete. Progress, boys.
Are our DBs f***ing blind or stupid or both? 145 total yards for the Chiefs. 6 for the Jags. Oh, no. Are we just not going to cover Sammy Watkins today?
I tried.
How? If Foles has to exit the game, I'm going to commit the opposite of living. It says a lot that I already feel like Minshew is better than Bortles.
Yeah, it happened fast.
Defense needs to go make a trip to the X-ray room to see if anything's broken. Nothing is more Jags than stopping them on third down and then giving them another set of downs by punching someone. Sure, go get it in a fight, secondary. At least you can touch the receivers that way. I see Coughlin's really instilling some discipline. If this football thing doesn't work out, I think Khan can use some of these players for his wrestling federation. Hey, maybe the defense will actually try to cover people this drive. Everyone who isn't Minshew can go f*** themselves. Poop sticks. Imagine taunting on your own 1 yard line. Can we find a preschool or daycare to take our defensive players and teach them some discipline? I gotta say, this fifth preseason game has really shown where we need to improve. I think I might have to go back to the CFL Reddit. The team psyche. When Marone addressed everyone for the first time in the spring, nobody could believe their ears. He didn't scold his team, he apologized. Doing so instantly mended the broken relationships. Quote, "We were shocked. Everyone was shocked as hell," Fournette said. "It's kind of like a relief. He was sorry with how the season went, sorry with how he handled it. Fresh start right there, a fresh start. All that negative went right out the window right there." Good to see all that negative gone. At least we didn't have to wait until October to feel miserable this year. Well, I turned it off. Enough show for today. Time to go play video games. We are way past train wreck territory. How do we feel less prepared for the heat as the home team? Is the entire team
Saint Joe, by the
dead?
Way, is the answer. The answer is
football. Cue yakety sacks every time the Jags D's on the field. We still going to blame Bortles? Our defense is just okay. But just okay is not okay. Is there a mulligan we can use when choosing a team? Asking for a friend. Jags D has a new name. Technical difficulties. Did our defense play today? I haven't seen them. Week 1, 40 burger against our defense. I knew KC daddy d***ed us last year, but I still had hopes we could hold them under 40 f***ing points. Mary f*** kill time. Mary, Gardner Minshew. Patrick Mahomes.
Editorial comment by Beards McFly here. I don't know exactly how this commenter meant Patrick Mahomes, but I view it as the positive.
Kill. Biased officiating. The Jaguars defense tackles about as well as I'm tackling my severe post-game depression. Sad face emoji. Big Nick needs some milk.
He needs some milk.
Time for self-deprecating memes. I blame all of you for giving me any semblance of hope this offseason. And now, the runner-up.
Oh, wow.
On things that Jags fans said on Reddit. Two sets of Jags players just tackled each other instead of the ball carrier. Summary of the game. And now, the winner of things that Jacksonville Jaguars fans said on Reddit. I'm British.
Editorial comment again by Music Fly here. I don't speak with a British accent, and I don't plan on faking one.
Oh, you should
have faked one. So instead, I have taken a free online text-to-speech thing, okay. And I have given it a British accent. So that's what you're going to get. If you want to imagine me with a British accent, you can. It won't be fun, but you can.
I'm British and got into the NFL 17 years ago when I was 14. I wanted to pick a team slightly left field, so I went with Jacksonville. Sometimes. I really hate my younger self.
Good work, Beards. It's definitely the longest sad fans we've ever had, and I think those Jags fans really earned it. That's a...
There's a lot of stuff there.
That's a strong showing.
A lot of stuff on the cutting room floor.
There's so much in that game, too. All right, so we're going to be doing that every week. Whatever sad fans there are... you will hear from them. Beards has promised a bonus sad fans next segment. We had been working on a sad Raiders fans around Antonio Brown, and I don't think that one's probably ever going to play.
No, I wrote everything out. I had it scripted. I had it planned, but I didn't record it, and I don't think I'm going to now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Probably don't do that, I would say. Did you see the emails from Antonio Brown, the screenshots that are...
I skimmed through them, yes.
Out there?
Yeah, they're not great.
They're not great!
No.
No. I got a lot of... There's a lot there that I just... I had so many funny things to say about Antonio Brown and the Raiders. And then, by the way, the Raiders go out there last night and look kinda good-ish. At least kinda okay. This really undercuts all the jokes. So, lots of jokes on the cutting room floor now in the Antonio Brown storyline. It's not funny. It's already probably not funny to some people. I thought it was funny until like an hour ago. It's like, oh, well, there goes that. I did on the Chiefs Jags front again. So that's sad. That's sad fans on Reddit. Hopefully we'll have lots and lots of sad opposing teams fans to cackle at throughout the remainder of the season. I bet we're going to get sad Raiders fans next week.
Oh, it'll be great.
Just heavily edited for content. Beards curates those. We talked about the offense a lot, and we've got just a very limited amount of time to get through everything that we can. But to give you like a one more thing on the offensive side, and we'll see if we get to a little bit of defense before we get to Seth. Tyreek Hill's apparently going to miss a few weeks. Now it could be the IR thing keeps getting thrown out there, so it sounds like the Chiefs at the very least have been like considering it because they could IR him and then bring him back. But like this week, they had a bunch of guys who weren't actually injured as healthy scratches and as inactive. So right now, carrying Tyreek Hill on the active roster isn't costing you too much. They released Byron Pringle today. Could theoretically bring him back if he clears waivers. Don't know yet. But they released Byron Pringle today and activate DeAnthony Thomas. I think the DeAnthony Thomas thing is another body you can throw into that offense. But as good as those receivers looked, I was on Sunday Sound Off on Sunday. And I think maybe the first question was, how much will the Chiefs miss Tyreek Hill? It is now Tuesday, and this is my Tuesday Sound Off, and I still don't know. It's incredible, right? Like, the Chiefs' most explosive single weapon on offense that Patrick Mahomes can use, it's his offense. It's Mahomes and Reed's offense. But the most explosive weapon on that offense is gone, and was gone for a big chunk of this game, and everything was fine. In fact, everything was great. Mecole Hardman got a lot of snaps, by the way, and had one target, which he dropped. It was like a screen. Not what you want. It wasn't like a screen. I believe it was a screen. But Andy Reid's going to have a whole week to get him into the right spot. They had one jet sweep that I believe they handed to Damien Williams down by the goal line. And I thought that if that was Tyreek Hill, it probably scores. And Mecole Hardman probably scores there. I imagine that this week in practice is going to be devoted to, hey, Mecole, these are the things you have to be able to do in Tyreek Hill's absence. And if they can solve those questions, at the very least, Mecole Hardman is a hell of a Band-Aid for missing Tyreek Hill for a short period of time. If this would have been a season-ending collarbone explosion, which sort of sounds like that's what was happening with Nick Foles, it sounds like his season's very likely over, this would be a different discussion. It would be a really big blow to the team to lose Tyreek Hill for the entire season. But in a few week stretch against mostly not great teams, I mean, again, I don't have any fears about Oakland. Baltimore's really interesting after, you know, kicking Miami's teeth in, but it was Miami, so we don't really know what Baltimore is yet. Oh, Miami. Oh, Miami. That's a bad football team. That's really bad.
Speaking of Miami really quickly, somebody tweeted at me and said, talk about Xavien Howard.
I would love for Xavien Howard to fall right into the Chiefs' arms. And here's the thing, though. This administration was the one that gave Xavien Howard his deal with Miami right now. And it sounds like he's down to hang and to captain this tank. So it doesn't sound like, as of right now, that's likely to happen. I'm glad someone mentioned it, though.
Is it like a little Tonka toy tank?
No. The Dolphins have a big tank. The Dolphins have a giant military tank that on the inside has a giant fish tank. They are tank within a tank. They are tankception right now. This tank has gone to the next level. That tank with a tank inside is currently trying to find the nearest, like, oil tanker and just see if those three things can all meet up and just hang out.
Meanwhile, it's being driven by a guy that says, hi, my name is Tank.
It is tough, man. That's a tough situation. And the Chiefs are so good that we can make fun of those kind of teams.
Is there anybody on the Dolphins team named Frank?
Frank Gore was there last year still, right? I think this is just first year in Buffalo. There's probably a Frank on the Dolphins.
Because then we can do Frank the Tank.
Ryan Fitz Tank Rick? Is that anything?
Bad is what it is.
Ryan Tank Patrick?
There you go.
Is that better?
There you go.
Ryan Tank Magic.
No.
He might be magic for tanking. Poor Josh Rosen. I feel so bad for Josh Rosen. You know what else I feel bad for? Every single person stuck watching CBS at the very end of that game, when they switched to a quote-unquote more competitive game, but then switched because of a technical issue, and then Baker Mayfield threw 1,000 interceptions. There was so much happening in the NFL this week, man. Anyway, CBS viewers, Chiefs and Jags fans alike, were very sad on the internet whenever that switch happened on Sunday. So whenever we come back, Beards hits us with the second punch of sad fans.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Almost Entirely Sports is a technical difficulty.
That's fair.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
So the Chiefs go to Jacksonville, put up 40 points with a hobbled Mahomes, no Tyreek Hill, really good defense. All of that on the offensive side of the ball goes really, really well. The defensive side of the ball, Gardner Minshew looked really good. I remember the thing I wanted to say, Beards, last segment. I need to make you fall in love with Gardner Minshew. Have you heard this this story yet from the Athletic, Beards, about what about Gardner Minshew in the locker room?
No.
Well, for me to find the part of this story that I wanted to read, I hit Control F and then typed in the word jockstrap. There's a lot of jockstrap-related elements to this story. Gardner Minshew, this is from Jason Jinks from The Athletic back in late 2018 when he was still the quarterback for Washington State. Here's a snippet that was tweeted out by Brian Floyd on Twitter. It's a conversation. He has these bands that he does arm stretches with after practice, and it never fails. He'll come in and just strip naked and start doing them. Minshew responded, usually I just end up in my jock strap, not all the way naked. There's been a couple naked ones. Yeah, there's been a couple nakeds. Steve Spurrier knows about the bands. His son, Steve Spurrier Jr., is the Cougars receivers coach, and after a win this season, the head ball coach wanted to talk to Minshew. Minshew says, quote, he came in the locker room looking for me, and I'm doing my bands in the jock strap, and I've got my shades on and my headband still on, and he just comes in, looks, and says, Steve, just tell him I said good game. this isn't as funny to Beards, because as he knows, this is also how I prepare for a show. I'm just in the office, headband,
it's
shades.
It's a tiny office, too.
Small office.
Yeah.
Headbands, shades, mustache out. Jockstrap on.
The problem is that Rudy and I sit on the same side of the desk, which is the opposite side of Josh.
Just stretching.
Yeah.
Just getting my lunches in.
Sometimes he tries to stand on the desk.
Gotta get those stretches. CBS cut away from the end of the Chiefs-Jags game. They said it was for one reason. It was actually for technical. It doesn't really matter. People were extremely, extremely, extremely unhappy. So Beards made a bonus sad fans on Reddit. This one devoted to Chiefs and Jags fans upset about not being able to see the end of the game.
And now, a special edition list of things that both Jacksonville Jaguars and Kansas City Chiefs fans said last night after CBS switched to Browns Titans, a more competitive game. Paid a lot of money for NFL Sunday Ticket to not be able to watch the f***ing game. I'm sure glad we're watching this more competitive 43-13 game. CBS are baby and support. The ultimate insult to Jaguars fans is showing the freaking Titans winning when their team is down. Don't miss any of the action, huh, CBS?
Wise.
Please excuse the Jaguar defense's technical difficulties. In the meantime, watch the Browns strip to the Super Bowl. JK, here's two teams fighting for second place in the East. Those Jets helmets look like green suckers, and I want to lick them. Comment. How do you not have a backup production truck? Reply. Or a f***ing emergency generator.
Either one.
Let's go to a more competitive game.
A few moments later.
Sorry, we're having technical difficulties. Pick a f***ing excuse. CBS eat my f***ing upvote party? I live in Missouri, you f***ing heads.
Damn.
Florida man got to the production truck. I'm just glad I don't have to hear Dan Fouts about the Chiefs on every play. We're
same.
Deprived of a rare Colquitt punt and a Frank Clark interception. This is why people pirate. This is somehow Dan Fouts' fault. I like how CBS doesn't have a backup plan in place for something like this. Clark got an interception and we f***ing missed it. F*** you, CBS. Porn on live TV? Wow. Great. Now we get to watch the Super Bowl contender Browns lose to the Titans at home. The hype was just hype. Oh, what the f***, CBS? Y'all trashy hoes.
Riot!
And so now, instead of watching our Chiefs with an 18-point lead, we get to watch these scrubs play in a 16-point difference. So much more competitive.
I don't even say that word on the radio.
This game isn't even competitive. Sad Chief noises. Oh, so suddenly Tennessee scores and it's technical difficulties. Wait, they switched from a three-possession game to another three-possession game? What the f***, CBS? I don't give a f*** about brown turds and blue boys.
Blue boys!
The rare time I get a Chiefs game in Denver. F*** you, CBS. Communist broadcasting station as always. 2019, and we can take a heart out of a human body and put it back in, but we can't figure out how to broadcast television? This is going pretty well, CBS. Why? Oh, good, the Browns! CBS stands for balls of...
Wait a second.
Pack it up, we're going home early! CBS broadcasting crew. Competitive. Okay. This isn't a more competitive game. This is a Cleveland game. Power hit from what? Thor? It's nothing but sunshine down there.
Those are Sad Chiefs and Jags fans on Reddit. Beards with a double production today. All in 1 hour, too. You're just mainlining sadness. But also joy, because if you're listening, hopefully you're also a Chiefs fan. And if you're a Chiefs fan listening to this, the worst thing that happened on Sunday was that you didn't get to see Frank Clark's interception. Which I have seen, by the way, now. And it was weird as hell. Ball was all batted around. Tano Passanio actually made the play. Clark kind of scooped it up. It was interesting. I know you may not have seen it still because of the aforementioned Zad fans. But it was really interesting. And we're just getting started here now because we've got all of that about the good things that happened in the game from the sadness of the Jags or the excitement and party poppers of me. We'll be joined by the only person who I think was more excited for actual film to watch than I was. Seth Kaiser of The Athletic joins us as he does every Tuesday next right here on Almost Entirely Sports.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.